Okay, first of all, a big yasher koyach to, I guess, the anonymous sponsor for the breakfast this morning. It should be as a schus of his kashrus to the Rambam, as Yartza was the other day. And in honor of all good things. But it's Hashem, they should be zaych at Hashem, brach v'atzlach ad v'idai. Zaych v'al Yisrael. Okay, so, you know, it's always very nice when the Navi shir and the Kutmaran shir and the Parshias and just everything sort of comes together. It's always a good sign. So the past few weeks we've been learning the sugya. It's sort of tzibislach, getting into it, the sugya of Gidain. So again, without chazuring too much, or you know, those that have listened to the shiurim until now, you know, I recommend that if you have nothing else to do. So what we've been discussing is that the inyan of Gidain, the particular klipa that Gidain was coming to break, is the klipa of Midyan, aka the klipa of Baal, the Avodah Zarah of Baal, aka the klipa of Shechem with Dina. And all of that, basically, what it means is that hairline fracture in the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Like, everything is fine, Hashem is with us, and it's gevaldik, but there's a kitrig, something that stares in the wholesomeness, in the ultimate hiskashrus, the full unity in that relationship. That's what Midyan is. We spoke about this again by Arichas, that in Alpi Kabbalah, that inyan of Hashem and the Jewish people being absolutely one to the point of where there can't even be a havamina of interfering in that relationship, that's called the Madrig of Abba V'ima. Abba V'ima means, from the child's perspective, Abba V'ima are always on the same page, right? So Abba V'ima means 100% unity. That's also a madrega of what the Sfarach Doshim and the Vilna Gaon describes as a yichud that's called neshikin, kissing. Neshikin means that madrega of absolute hiskashras, of a bechin of Abba V'ima. And that's what we saw also that Baal, right? We saw this from Ratzadik, that Baal was an Avodah Zarah that introduced this idea of kissing. A kissing in Avodah Zarah, that was the name of Baal. So because that's the anti, it's the taking away neshikin from Avodah Hashem and bringing it into Avodah Zarah. But that was the inyan. And we explained that Midyan is this inyan of just being Ma'ira Kitchik, of being Ma'ira Dinim, of being Ma'ira Sam. You know, Kali Yisrael is great, but Lamaisa, like with all due respect, that type of, you know, like that type of thing. Like it's Kavaldik, but, you know, that but, that's Midyan. That's Midyan. And we explained, that's what we were in Marach with this last week, is that this Madreg of Neshikin, of Abba V'ima, of ultimately Panim Upanim, of real Panim Upanim, that's the Madreg of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu has to go to Midyan in order to sort of break that klipa. And when we were Marach with this last week, is that when he gets Yisrael, right? When he's Megayer, when Yisrael is Megayer, and he marries Sipora, the daughter of Yisrael, that's sort of, you know, sort of taking the soul out of Midyan. That's, you know, breaking the klipa of Midyan is the greatest way of breaking the klipa is when you take its soul away from it, you know. So Yisrael, who was the greatest of the Midyanim, and he becomes Niskar of Tavodis Hashem. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's effort. And as we explained last week, that was the beginning of redeeming Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, the whole inning of Golas Mitzrayim, which is ultimately to lead us to Har Sinai, which is an experience of not just getting the Torah. Why do we need Har Sinai for, right? That's a question the Mefarshim ask. If Hashem wants to give us the Torah, then let him just slip a note under the door, say, by the way, these are the 613 mitzvahs. Like, what do you need Maimed Har Sinai for? So the answer is Maimed Har Sinai is to create that neshikin, is to create that face-to-face experience of where, if we got the Torah by a note under our door, so it's like, okay, I have a lot of inyanim. It happens to be I have to incorporate 613 in my schedule. But Maimon Har Sinai means that all there is you and Hashem, and that's it. Right? That's what Chazal says, such a thing, that when Har Sinai happened, no bird chirped, there was no noise, like absolute yichud. That's why Har Sinai was a Moshe Rabbeinu experience, right? Everyone, so the Pasuk says, the Rambam talks about this in Hilchus Yisari HaTorah, that from Maimon Har Sinai, V'gam B'cho Yaminu L'Olam, Klal Yisrael believe we are, our faith in Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is not because of wonders and miracles. It's because by Har Sinai we heard Hashem say Moshe, Moshe. We heard Hashem speak to Moshe, so we were all witnesses to his Nevuah. So the question is, why couldn't let me ask you a question? So that's what Rambam says. So here's the Shaila: why couldn't Hashem do that by Yitzias Mitzrayim? I mean, there's two things going on. There's Maimon Har Sinai, very nice, and we have to, and Hashem has to make Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah rock solid. The way to make Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah rock solid is to get us all witnesses that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. You know, as we all have to have a Nevuah experience, and our Nevuah experience is Hashem talking to Moshe. So we all know firsthand that Hashem talks to Moshe, he's the Navi. But Hashem could have done that with Makas Dam, or Tzvardeya, could have... Hashem happens to be, we're going to do that by Maimon Har Sinai. The answer is because that's what Maimon Har Sinai is Nevuas Moshe. I mean, it's the Madreg of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Peh, upon him, Neshikin. That's what Maimon Har Sinai is, right? So Hashem Kavalim Harki Gigas, if you get the Torah good, if not, Shem Teik Verascham, there's no Metzias outside of Torah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what happened. And so Midyan is anti that, right? Midyan is, yeah, there's Hashem, but you know, Hashem is Gevaldik. But it's a choice that you're making to go with Hashem, because you go to other places. And Hashem chooses the Jewish people, but he could have chosen other nations. It's not. So even though there's a relationship there, and Midian is not saying there's no God, Midian is not saying there's no Yidden, but Midian is saying, it's like, okay, it could have. There's an alternative option, there's another path that could have happened. So staring, it's a hairline fraction. That relationship, Moshe Rabbeinu undermines that. So that's what we spoke about. That's why, again, that's Gidoyin. It becomes a shayfet by being malamitzchus, by saying good things about Jews, by not acknowledging any possibility of there being faults by Klal Yisrael. I don't know if this is true, but I had a hergish that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu went after Dasan Aviram, right? So Dasan Aviram says, you know, mi samcha lishar v'shayfet aleinu, you know, who put you in charge? You're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri. So Moshe says, oh, achei noid hadavar. This was like, now I know what the problem is. They say Lashon Hara. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, runs to Midian. So now we have a deeper understanding of that. He's running to Midian to fix that problem, to fix the problem. But to a certain degree, I don't know if this is true, but may I had a hergish that, like, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to see problems. He doesn't want to see chesroinus. I'd rather, to a certain, the Kamarna writes this, that one of the differences between Moshe and Aaron, both Moshe and Aaron were Oyve Yisrael. The Gemara says in Chulin, the Gemara says that Moshe Oyve Yisrael Oyve. So Aaron obviously is also an Oyve Yisrael. So what's the difference between the Avos Yisrael of Moshe and the Avos Yisrael of Aaron? So the Gemara says such a thing. And what's the word I'm looking for? It's, not comforting is the wrong word, validating. But because you have different neshamas. There are some Moshe Rabbeinu Dik neshamas and Aaron Dik neshamas. The Kamarna says that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ayv Yisrael, but the nature of his neshama and the nature of his Dveikas to Hashem was such that he couldn't get into the Pratim. He needed to stay more the Klal. Like, he needed to see Klal Yisrael as a people like that. He couldn't get into the Pratim. Aaron was the opposite. Aaron was like Mamish. His Indian was to get into the Pratim of people's lives and then Yonim and to love them mitzad their pratius. But Moshe Rabbeinu, that wasn't his inyan. So it's like once the pratim, you know, start emerging and the ugliness, like Moshe says, I can't, it's going to shter my Avos Yisrael, so I have to go to Midian. In Midian, what is he thinking about? Klal Yisrael. He's not thinking about individual people. It's like when you're in it, then you're seeing individual people. That's not Moshe's inyan. Moshe is more the klal. So it's different shamas. Huh? It's like, you know, so it, huh? Yeah, okay, so each time that happens, you have to know where it's coming from. So we spoke about, like, when he says, Hein lo yaminuli, so we spoke about that last week, that was the psilus of Yisroi, the tsaras on the hand of Kashmir Gerin Kisapachas. So each time that happens, it's sort of not the nature of Moshe, so it needs a hezver, so it's, you know, so you have to figure out that sugi each one. But, okay, so that was all by introduction. So, huh? So this Madrega of Avos Yisrael, which is trying to undermine the klip of Midyan, is an Avos Yisrael that doesn't see the faults. There's a maisa. I've said this from the Rebbe Rashab before, that when the Rebbe Rashab established the yeshiva of Tamcha Tamimim, which is the yeshiva system of Lubavitch, so the policy was that if a bachur, because at that time the Haskalah was infiltrating all the yeshivas and it was a problem, so the Rebbe said the policy is that if any Rosh Yeshiva, whatever it is in his networks, wants to kick out a bachur, they need to get authorization from him. So there was a maisa that there was a Rosh Yeshiva comes or whatever, Mashpia comes to the Rebbe, and he says, there's a bachur, we need to, you know. So the Rebbe said, why? So he said, because he's reading Maskilusha books, he's reading Apikarsis. So the Rebbe said, how do you know? So the Rosh Yeshiva said, we know. The Rebbe said, how do you know? So he said, because we found him with books. He has books in his dorm. We found it under his bed, you know. So the Rebbe said, I know it's his. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, it has name on it, you know. Like, how do you know he reads it? So he says, Rebbe, we saw him. We saw him read these books. Like, he was like, you know, we saw him read the books. So the Rebbe says, so don't see it. So don't see it. What are you seeing it for? So, but that's... There's a certain, you know, you don't have to see everything. So that's an obvious Yisrael that's trying to undermine Midian. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian just to sort of fill out the sugya. That's what we're going to try to do today, to sort of fill out the sugya. So Moshe Rabbeinu is in Midian trying to break the klipa of Midian. But let's go back. What were the events that led to him going to Midian? So we spoke about this on Shabbos. The event that led to him going to Midian was the fact that he kills the Mitzri, right? Kills the Mitzri, confronts Dustin Avir, and Dustin Avir says, oh, you killed the Mitzri, you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri. Uh-oh, he goes to Midian, right? So it all goes back to him killing the Mitzri. So let's investigate that inyan of killing the Mitzri, and we'll see that that itself was also part of this Avoida of undermining Midian. It's all part of the same Mahalach. So who is this Mitzri? So if you take a look at Maramukha number one, So we'll learn a few Midrashim now. So there's a Midrash in Vayikra Rava, the end of Parshas Emor. So we know at the end of Parshas Emor, there's a Maisa of the Magadev. What's the story of the Magadev? So it says, you don't have this in front of you, but it says at the end of Parshas Emor like this. Give me a second. It's a little bit out of nowhere. That's where Chazal figured this out. The Pasuk says... Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, Vuhu ben Ish Mitzri. A Yid that was, his mother was Jewish, but his father was a Mitzri. Vayetze, he goes out. Besoich ben Yisrael amongst the Yidin. Vayinotze b'machne ben Yisraelis, Vishi Yisraeli, and so on. The Pasuk says, Vayikai ben Isha Yisraelis, Es Hashem. This, again, this, he's Jewish, his mother's Jewish. This Yid, whose father is a Mitzri, goes again, he goes out to the camp, and he curses Hashem. He curses Hashem's name. Okay, that's called Megadev. That's an Avera of cursing Hashem. V'yaviu Aisel Moshe. They bring him to Moshe. V'shem Imoi, what was his mother's name? Okay. Shloimis bas Divri l'mata Don. His mother's name was Shloimis, the daughter of Divri, Sheva Don. And the Pasuk says, they arrested him, and Hashem tells them that Megadev is Chayiv Skila, and he's killed, and that's the story of the Megadev. So what's this? The Pasuk goes out of its way to say what his mother's name is and the fact that he was a Ben Mitzri. So the Medrash says like this. Take a look at Maramok number one. So it's a Medrash over there in Parshas Emor. The Medrash says, going back to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri. So the Medrash says that this Mitzri was, the backstory of this Mitzri was that this woman, Shloimis Bas Divri, so it was a Shoigig, was an Oines. The situation was this Mitzri somehow got into the house. It's a whole mice in the Medrash. What happened? He got into the house. She didn't realize. You see how tzenuah, how modest they were. She didn't know that this was a Mitzri. She thought that it was her husband, and they were together. And the Mitzri had an inclination that maybe the real husband knew about this. And Hashgacha Pratis, this Mitzri was in charge of that Yid. And so that's the Yid that he was beating because he was trying to kill him because he was concerned that he's going to tell whatever it is. So that's what's happening over there. So it says the Medrash, Ba'isa Shah, at that moment Moshe sees this Mitzri beating up this Yid. Hitzitza Ruach HaKadosh B'Moshe. There was an awakening of Ruach HaKadosh, the spark of Ruach HaKadosh came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hadol d'chsev, and that's the meaning of the pasuk. V'yifen kai v'chai. Moshe turns this way and that way. Ma'al kai v'chai was mean this way. What does that mean? V'yifen kai v'chai. Says the Medrash, El ro mash aslai b'bayis u'basada. It means he had ruach ha-kaidish Moshe Rabbeinu, and he knew v'yifen kai v'chai. He's looking this way and that way. Notice Moshe Rabbeinu knows what happened inside the house, what's going on with this mitzvah, and he sees now what's going on in the field, and he knows the intention that the mitzvah is trying to do is to kill this guy to cover up what he did. And Omar Lai, and so Moshe says to the Mitzri, or he says to himself, Loidayo shall kill Kilas Ishtai, El Shumabakish Largai, you messed up his, you interfere with the relationship of husband and wife, and now you're trying to kill him. So Miyad Vyarke Inish, Moshe sees there's no one watching, and he kills the Mitzri. So this Inyan, that's what this Mitzri was. So this Mitzri was an Inyan of staring Shalom Bayis. But you see, it was Beshoit, like, it wasn't the woman's fault. No one knew about it, but it was an interference, Shalom Bayis. And Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri because this is what he's trying to do. So you see already, even without going too deep into it, you see already that the inning of the Mitzri was an inning of Midyan. It's just like Hashem, the relationship, the Shalom Bayis between us and Hashem. So there's something that's called Eishes Nunim, of like Mamish, like knowingly breaking down Shalom Bayis. That's not Midyan. Midyan is... something happens that, like, it's not the same anymore. It's just not the same. But not anyone's fault, but it's just not the same. It's not 100% yichud. That's what the Mitzri was doing over here. So the truth is, so Moshe kills the Mitzri. So that itself is Moshe Rabbeinu's beginning of breaking down Midian's klipa, right? That's where killing this Mitzri is the beginning of that. So that's why eventually it leads him to actually go to Midian, because he already was on the path to go to Midian. Now, who is then this Mitzri? So, again, this woman that he was with, that's Shlomis Bas Devri. That's what the Medrash is saying in Parshas Emor. That was Shlomis Bas Devri. And this guy that comes out and curses Hashem's name was a child from that union. That's what the Pasuk says, that his mother was Jewish, Shlomis Bas Devri, and his father was a Mitzri. That was this Mitzri. Take a look at the next Maramukim. The Medrash over there continues. It's interesting that you see that, you know, despite the issues that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim, Memtah, Sharitum, and so on, but in terms of this inyan of remaining pure within themselves and not intermarrying with the Mitzrayim, there was only one time that an intermarriage on some level took place, and that was this case. That was the only case. Tei Delecha says Medrash. I'll show you that this was the only instance. Shahayakain Achas Hayso Pirsma Hakasav, and because there's only one time, and the pasuk highlights it. Like, this was like a crazy thing that never happened in all the years of Mitzrayim. Shenemar, the shame imay shalemis bas divri lemata don. And the Medrash explains that even though it was a shaygeg, obviously it was an oinus, no one's to blame for this, but her name, Shalemis, does indicate some level of chisaron that at least created a space for this to happen. What was that? Dom Rablevi. Rablevi said, Shahava pitatma bishalma. Her name was Shalemis, which means she was very talkative and very to go out to say shalom to everybody. She was a little bit, especially in those days, that was not the way. So shalom lecha, shalom lechain. So that inyan of too much dibur. So what's interesting is again, remember what we said before. Again, just putting the puzzle pieces together a little bit. Again, we said before is that this inyan of absolute yichud between Hashem and the Jewish people, anti-Midyan, right? That's the inyan of pe'al-peh, of Moshe Rabbeinu, of speaking, of neshikin, right? That yichud of Moshe Rabbeinu, pe'al-peh, dabar-bay, mouth-to-mouth, that's the ultimate yichud. So all of these situations which are breaking down that yichud, of making that hairline fracture, which is a klipa of Midyan, are all revolving around a pagam of dibur, of speech. Right, so Shloimis Bas Divri, who's the only one that there's a breakdown in Shalom Bayis in this way, which itself is the klipa of Midyan, comes because she talks too much, and she has a son from that union who's the Megadiv, who curses Hashem's name, also Pagam and Dibur. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, to kill the Mitzri, to begin the process of breaking Midyan and bringing that union together in a Shloimistic way, and returning the Shekin to Avodas Hashem in Pe'al Peh, how does he kill the Mitzri? So we spoke with us on Shabbos. He kills the Mitzri with his mouth, right? With words. Hargeni Ator, with Shemus HaKadosh, with the name of Hashem. So I mentioned also on Shabbos, what name did Moshe Rabbeinu use? So we spoke about this Barichas on Shabbos, but But according to the Arizal, in Shar Psukim at least, the pasuk that the Shem Hashem that he uses was one of the many names of the Shem Mem Beis, right? The name of the Anabakayach, which is 42 letters. Rosh Tevis, right? There's 42 words in Anabakayach. Each one of them corresponds to a letter. That's 42 letters altogether. That's on the side of Anabakayach. It's printed just letters, right? So that's the Shem Mem Beis, and that each one of that Shem Mem Beis is subdivided into seven sentences, right? Each name being of six letters. So that's what he's mentioned in Shabbos, that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri with the letters Nun, Gimel, Dalet, Yud, Chav, Shin. No Gibor, Dor, Sheichud, Cha, Kevav, Ashamren. That sentence of Anabakayach. But the Arizal said that the Moshe Rabbeinu to kill the Mitzri just used the last three letters of Yud, Chav, Shin. That's what we mentioned on Shabbos. That's the remez that when Dasan Avirim say to Moshe, Mi samcha leish sar v'shayfet aleinu. Mi samcha leish is saif tevis. The last letters is yud chav shin. Mi samcha leish. So hinting that they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri with the letters yud chav shin. Said the Ariya Kaddish that he killed the Mitzri with yud chav shin. Well, I said lavoi Mashiach is going to come to destroy our enemies with not just yud chav shin but also with nun gimel dalad yud chav shin. And that's hinted to in the pasuk later on in Parshas Kisisa. We're after the Egel, right? And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Neged kol amcha esen eflois. Neged kol amcha esen eflois. So it's interesting, that pasuk of Neged kol amcha esen eflois, what's the simple taich? So Rashi, in Parshas Kisisa, you'll take a look, Rashi says, Neged kol amcha esen eflois. Oh, I brought it down. Take a look at Marmukah number 6. Rashi, the end of Kisisa, Neged kol amcha esen eflois. Says Rashi, Lashon v'neflinu. This on Pshuta Shel Mikra, the simple pasuk Neged Kol Amcha Esen Eflois, was a response to Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the Shechina should only be by Klal Yisrael and not by the nations of the world, not by the nations of the world, only by Klal Yisrael. So that the response to that was Hashem says, yes, Neged Kol Amcha Esen Eflois. I will do Neflois by you. By your people. What does it mean, Neflois? Says Rashi, Neflois means the Neflinu. In other words, that we should be separated. Neged kol amcha esen eflois. Shetiu muvdolim bezumi kol ha'umois, shaitish shechinasi aleihem. That my Shechina will only reside in Klal Yisrael. So you see what's going on over here. That pasuk, Neged kol amcha esen eflois, pshuta shel mikra, means that Klal Yisrael are separate and we have no shaychus to the nations of the world. Hashem's Shechina is not by them. It's not like Hashem's Shechina is by the all nations and Hashem just loves us more than them. There's no shaychus at all. We have the Shechina, and they're completely non-existent. They don't. They push it, don't exist in the relationship. That itself is the breaking down Midian, right? That's the whole inning of Moshe Rabbeinu of Pe'al Peh. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri, right? Again, he kills the Mitzri, which the Mitzri's inyan was to shter, to make that hairline fracture, you know, in the Sholem Bayis, to show that, you know what, it's possible for Yid and a guy to, you know, they could mix amongst each other. They're not a different species, which itself is the Klipa of Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu therefore kills him, which is a breakdown of Pe'al Peh, Madrega Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri with his mouth, using the name of Hashem, who in full potency is Neged Kol Amcha Esen Eflois, which means that the Jewish people are taka separate and we're disconnected from every other nation and unique in that way that we have the Shechina and no one else does. So that's what's going on over here. So far, everyone follows this? Yeah, it's just okay. So by the way, this is also the name of Bilam, right? Why Bilam was the one that gave the Eitzah to Balak to send the women of Midian. Right, that before we got into Eretz Yisrael, we spoke about this, right? Eretz Yisrael means Heinan Levadad Yishkon, that we have no shaychus to any. We're mamish alone with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and the klipa that we had to deal with before we get to Eretz Yisrael is this klipa of Midian. It's like, who says you're so separate? So, and the women of Midian that come, and that's what Cosby and Zimri, which was reemergence of Dina and Shechem, right? So they come, and that happened with the women of Midian. Whose Eitzah was it? To sort of unleash this klipa of Midian? It was Bilam. Why did he do this? Because he saw that his curses were not working. So why was he trying to curse? What's the meaning of cursing? B'chlau, is it Balak hires Bilam to curse us? What's the meaning of cursing? So we read it as kids, and we're thinking, oh, this is, you know, they were just superstitious, old-fashioned, you know, crazy people. This was very serious. Hashem himself talks later on, he says to the Klal Yisrael, like, I took care of you. Like, you'd have no idea what type of danger you were in with Bilam over there. So what's Bilam cursing? It's, again, it's Begam Hadibur. It's anti... Chazal already say that Bilam was anti-Moshe, right? Loikam k'Moshe. Amongst Jewish people, in Kedusha, there's no one like Moshe. But in the Sitra Achra, in impurity, there's an equal to Moshe Kivyochel, which is Bilam. Bilam, if Moshe Rabbeinu means absolute dvekis and iskashus, pel peh, har Sinai, so what's the anti of that? Bilam. That's why when Har Sinai happens, what do Chazal say? All the nations of the world, representatives of the nations, come to Bilam and they say, what's going on over here? The world feels like it's upending. So they say, the Bilam says, no, it's not upending, Har Sinai is happening. Why did Bilam chap Har Sinai? It's because Bilam is anti-Moshe. Bilam is the opposite of Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu means Har Sinai. Bilam is sensitive to that, but again, anti. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, if Har Sinai means Eretz Yisrael, it means Heinan Levadad Yishkon, absolute unity and oneness without any interference in that yichud at all, Bilam is the opposite of that. So Bilam curses, he's trying to curse Klal Yisrael to disrupt that yichud of Nishik and that yichud of Dibur of Moshe Rabbeinu, stopping us from getting into Eretz Yisrael. Now the Rabbeinu Shalom turns his curses into blessings. And why, and we know, for example, that Chazal say that the one bracha that still remains with us from Bilam was when he said, "Matayvu alecha Yaakov mishkanesech Yisrael." What brought that bracha of "Matayvu alecha Yaakov"? So we all know, right? Because he saw the camps of the Jewish people, and he saw how no two doors were open to each other. Because that's the same ending. It's like my house is my house. It's like I'm not looking at you. You're not looking at me. What would happen if the doors opened to each other? No, but it wouldn't be 100%. It would be a shter. It would be like, you know, okay, I see what's going on over there. I don't have that. Okay, you know, I'm still happy with what I have, but it's, you know, it would be a hairline fracture. So, Adraba, so that would have given space for the curse of Bilam to undermine the yichud of Pel Peh of Moshe Rabbeinu. So instead of that, the Jewish people's homes were in a way that they were not facing each other's doors. It was an absolute yichud within itself. My house is my house. I don't even know of... To me, other homes don't even exist. And that comes, and they're from there. It's Matayv Olech Yaakov Ishnesech Yisrael. So that's what's going on with Bilam. Okay, so fine. But going back, Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri. And obviously that begins the path of Moshe Rabbeinu to undermine Midian, to make sure that Klal Yisrael and Hashem are mamish, there's no one else. But Lamaisa, they have this, that union produces this Megadev. It produces this Megadev. And that's where this Megadev curses Hashem. A Pagam in Dibor, a Pagam in that Yichud. But what's interesting is, so what made the Megadev so angry? Like, what made him so angry? So if you take a look at Maramukah number 3, so Rashi in Parshas Emor explains to us it says in Pasuk Vayetze that he went out. What happened over there? So the truth is I forgot to write the first line. Rashi says three pshatim and what it means Vayetze. Is everyone, I don't know if I'm not confusing everybody. It was with me? Okay. So what does it mean Vayetze? So he went out. What does it mean he went out? So Rashi says three pshatim. So Rashi says, again, Maramukah number 3, you have it, except for the first line. So Rashi says, Mehechan Yatza, where'd he go? So says Rashi, three pshatim. Pshat number 1, you don't have. Rabbi Levi says, Me'ilama Yatza, he went out of his world. He went out of his world. What does it mean? A simple taich of Rashi means that this Avera that he does, which is to curse Hashem, he sacrificed his Olam Haba. He lost his Olam Haba, that's his world, his Olam. But you see, but you hear in that, Ma'ilama Yatza means that place of just your Olam. Because I'll describe Olam Haba is, everyone has their chuppah, everyone has their... Olama means, you'll see in a second, that this, again, the Megadev, who is the Pagam of Dibur, who is breaking down Pe'el Peh, that means that my Olam is somehow... The doors of my home to this guy's home are open to each other. And it's like, my home is not just my home. My universe is not just my universe. I'm comparing my universe to someone else. It's staring at that hairline fracture between my place with Hashem. And that's what the Megadiv was breaking down by cursing Hashem. Again, coming from the fact that his father was this Mitzri, who himself was, you know, it's... Again, that klipa was resurfacing in the life of in the life of the Megadiv. That's. But the question is, okay, so we're that's the Metzius. The Metzius is that he's losing his Olam Haba for this, and he's losing his intimate Dveikus with the Rabbanu Shalom, which is your Chelik and Olam Haba. He's losing that. He's being Pagim and Dibur. He's breaking down the Pe'el Adabarbai. He's breaking that down. But why? What's he so upset about? So then the next two pshatim. So take a look. Rashi says in Marmuk number 3. So the next pshat is Miparsha Shalamala Yatza. That what made the Megadiv curse was the previous parsha in Chumash. What's the previous halacha? The previous parsha in Parshas Emor is about Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim is that every Shabbos, new 12 loaves of bread are arranged on the Shulchan. And the following Friday, the Lechem Aponim is divided up. So Ligleg v'Omar. So the Megadiv makes fun of it, and he says, "V'yoyim haShabbos yarchenu." You arrange it on Shabbos, and the Kahanim divide it up and eat it the following Shabbos. Derech Hamelach lechol paschama b'kol yom. A normal king eats fresh bread every day. Shema pasinenes shel tisha yomin. But you're going to eat bread from 9 days old, because sometimes it could be delayed 9 days and so on. B'tmiya it's a pella. So you're serving Hashem stale old bread. But the truth is, Chazal say, but that was a mistake, because the miracle of the Lechem Aponim was that even though it was a week old, it was still fresh out of the oven. Why is the Megadiv so personally offended by this? You know, it's like he takes it so personally. It's already Madrega to be so, you know. It's already a Madrega. That's the Maisa. I just now remember the story about the Chayza that I was about to say. That's the Maisa. The Maisa was that... There was Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe, before he was a chassid, so he was a misnagid before he was a chassid. So the Maisa goes that the Yismach Moshe was with another Yid. This other Yid, his name was like Rabbi Yosef or something. And so there was a Chassidish Sefer that the Yismach Moshe like found in the Beis Medrash. This is before he became a chassid. And he took the sefer and he like threw it on the floor. And this friend of his, this Rabbi Yosef, said to him, he says, you know, okay, you know, we're not chassidim, I get it, but there might be the Hashem of Hashem in there, like you can't throw it on the floor. That was the, so they, and eventually the Yisroch Moshe became a chassidish rebbe, like so. So they said, so this maisa got to the chayza, and the chayza said, because the Yismach Moshe was such a fiery misnagid, so it's only a matter of time till he becomes a fiery chassid. But this Rav Yosef, who wasn't such a fiery misnagid, doesn't become a chassid either. So that's the Yismach Moshe. Why was this? Why do I remind myself of this? Huh? So he cared so much. Very good. So he cared so much about Lechem Apon. It's really madrega, you know, to care so much. But anyway, so what's the pnimius of this? Huh? Yeah. So it's like a funny zach, right? So here's the oimek. Lechem aponim. Already you see in that. It says in Pasuk, okay, I'm not going to be able to explain too much of this, but just Rashi talking. It says in Pasuk in Shir Shirim, oh my gosh. Echlu Reim Shesu Dait. Yeah. Echlu Reim Shesu V'Shekru Dait. So, it's hard to, I'm not going to be able to explain this too much, but in the Kisui Ari, Echlu Reim, friends Reim, it's hard to know to teach it 100%. Reim should eat, and Shesu V'Shekru Dait, and people that love each other should drink. So in the Kisveri, Reim and Doidim, Reim refers to Abba V'ima. One, Terein Reim Deloy Misparshan, the Zara says, Reim are never separate, they're not separable. And Doidim means people that love each other, but there's sometimes face-to-face, sometimes not. So, achila is related to reyim, ichlu reyim. Shesu v'shikru doidim. Now, there's a mila in doidim. So you would think that reyim is a higher madrega. That's abdima, that's everything we're talking about. That's a higher madrega. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you have a relationship that's so absolutely one, it gets stale. So one can make the argument, maybe it's kedai to be doidim, which means sometimes back to back, sometimes face to face, sometimes on, sometimes off, because then when we're on, it's mamish doidim, it's with fiery love. Shesu v'shikru, to become drunk with it. What's the lechem aponim? So that's, lechem aponim means achil, it's eating, and it's ponim. Ponim means face to face, means abba v'ima, complete ichud. So the secret of the lechem aponim is ichlu reyim. The Magadiv says, but then it's going to be stale. It's not fiery. It's not. So the Magadiv says, I don't want Klal Yisrael to be in a madrega of Abba V'ima. I want to keep us in a madrega of just Zachar Nekeva, which is doidim. Now, it sounds like a very frum zach, because he wants to keep the Hislavas. So it's like you read the Letzarech Aliyah, right? So it's like, but really, it's coming because of the Klip of Midian. It's coming from the fact that his father is a Mitzri. And there's a part of him that doesn't want Klal Yisrael and Hashem to be absolutely terrain reined on misparshim. What about his taina that it becomes stale? So say Chazal, that's the chiddush of lechem aponim. Despite the fact that it's lechem aponim, it's as hot out of the oven every single moment, like its first moment. You have the oimik of this. But that's what the again. You read these stories. Oh, the Magad, this is a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He's not bad. We would have given a kvittel to all these people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we couldn't be masig. So even the Magadev, so that's what's going on over here. What's the next pshat? So the next pshat, but again, Yichab, I'm saying over here, so the whole inning of the Magadev is to put a stumbling block in that movement towards Abav Ima, of absolutely one. The Masnisan Amra, Rashi continues the second line. Masnisan Amra, what's another pshat of what made the Magadiv so angry? So, Mi Bezdina Shal Moshe Yatza, Mechuiv, he came out of the Bezdin of Moshe Rabbeinu, guilty. Like, not with, there was a Din Torah, and it came out not in a way that he liked. What happened? Ba'alita Ola B'Torch Machne Don. He wants to have his tent and his home in the camp of Don. Amru Loi, they said to him, Ativuch V'Kan, what are you doing here? You're not a part of our Shevet. Amr Lahem, what do you mean? I'm from Dun. My mother's from Dun. Amr Loi, they said to him, that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu told us. Ish al dig loy ba'isis le beis avoisam ksiv. It's based on the father, not the mother. So you're, as far as, since your father's a Mitzri, so you're not part of Shevet Dun. You're like a, in that context, you're like a ger, you have a separate place, but you don't have a chelik in Dun. So there was a din Torah, they know what to do. So nechlas beis dina shel Moshe, so yes, Moshe, v'yotz mechuyev. And it came out the psak that he doesn't have a chelik in Dun. Omer v'gidev. So this Indian, so again, Vaita, the next pshat is that he's a Magadif, he's very disturbed about, and it happens because of the golem, the camps of Klal Yisrael. He wants to be in the camp, he's not allowed in the camp, near the camp. What's this Indian of the camps? The camps of Klal Yisrael, the golem, is itself also this Indian of Moshe Rabbeinu, face-to-face, of not even a hairline fracture between our relationship. No umas oilam, not even a havamin of anyone else, just us. How do I know that that's what the Golem is about? Take a look at Maramach number 4, it's a Medrash in Bamidbar. So it's going on the Pasuk, it says in Pasuk in Shir Shirim, maybe some of you will know it better than me, Shuvi, Shuvi, Hashulamis, Shuvi, Shuvi, V'nech Zabach. Right? Okay. So what does that mean? So look how the Medrash, see, Baruch Hashem, we got a Balkar, we're good to go. So this is how the Medrash breaks it down. Oymer lehemu umais. This is what the Pasuk means. The nations of the world say to the Jewish people, we're called the Shulamis, right? It's interesting. Shulamis is the same, Oymer lehemu umais. The nations say to us, Shuvi, Shuvi, HaShulamis. Return to us. In other words, come to us. Hidbakulonu, be attached to us. Bovetzlenu, come to us. Vanoisim eschem, we'll make you shaltoinim, agmoinim, we'll make you officers, we'll give you high positions. Your Jews are smart, you know, you're industrial, we'll be able to, you'll be productive. So, shuvi, shuvi, v'nechzebach. come to us, v'nechzebach. It's simple. V'nechze comes from the word of probably chazoyin, to see. But Chazal say, ein nechze el sarara. Nechze means we'll give you positions of authority. How do I know nechze means authority? Shekein omer yisra l'moshe. Because Yisrael says to Moshe, v'ata techze mikol ha'am, you should appoint from all the people, sorry meya, sorry alafim. So Yisrael is how we know the word techze, the nations of the world, are saying to the Jewish people, shuvi shuvi v'nechzebach, we'll give you positions of authority, so come to us. The Yisrael oimrim, see, what do we hear in this? We hear in this the Klip of Midian, right? It's like, yeah, Hashem is gevaldik, but you know, we have a lot to offer also. Come to us. And they use the language of the Nechzebach, which is a language that Yisrael uses. Yisrael is the nitzus of kedusha. Yisrael also is about making madrigas, of dividing, of making hairline fractures, but not in a chas v'shalom in a negative way. Hairline fractures, like you're the shayfet, your position is this. So he says, like, so that's, but so this call of the nations of the world is the call of Midian. And what did the Jewish people respond? V'Yisrael Oimrim, Klal Yisrael say, Ma techzu b'shulamis? What are you going to offer the shulamis? What are you going to offer us? Ma gedul atem noisim lanu? Shema k'mecholas machanayim? Could you possibly give us what Hashem has given us, which is mecholas machanayim? What's mecholas machanayim? Shema yichol matem lasis lanu k'gedul ha'sha'asu l'ikim b'midbar? Could you offer us the greatness that Hashem gave us in the midbar, which is Degel Machne Yehuda, Degel Machne Reuven, Degel Machne Don, Degel Machne Ephraim? Could you give us the degalim? You can't do such a thing. So there's not anything to talk about. You have nothing to offer. You have nothing to offer. So you hear in that. What's the name of the degalim? Not like, you know what? Okay, the degalim is anti-Midian. I was like, this call of the nations of the world is, you know, listen, you know, you made a choice with Hashem. Come to us. We have what to offer also. And what did the degalim mean? Did the degalim mean it's just us and Hashem and nothing else exists? That's going back. Remember that, again, Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri with that name of Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Chav Shin. And we spoke about this on Shabbos. What's the kayach of that name? To obliterate a person's name. The name, that shame kaydash, Yud Chav Shin, obliterates Nagad Shmo Avad Shmei, like it says in Perkei Avos, right? You spoke about this? Yeah? Anyone remember? Okay. So it obliterates, good. It obliterates a person's name, right? So but what does it mean to obliterate a name? It means they don't exist. It's not the pshat. Like, in other words, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do that? Let Moshe Rabbeinu use the name of Hashem and a dagger will come and stab the guy in the chest. I don't know, would it cut his head off? Okay, so what do you have to obliterate his name? The answer is because if you kill him with a sword, then he still exists, but you killed him. When you obliterate his name, the pshat is he doesn't exist anymore. It's ki'ilu lo haya. That's undermining Midian. The Klip of Midian, if the Jewish people, listen, we hear your taina, but Lamaisa, like, we'll stay over here with us. That itself is the Klip of Midian. It's like a hairline fracture. So what has to happen? The Jewish people have to respond. It's like, what are you even talking about? See, their response is not like, okay, we have it better over here. The response is, their lashon is, Ma techzu b'shalom, what are you even offering us? You know, there's like, not like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm satisfied with what I have now. No, you haven't offered anything to me. Because what we have with the Rabbanu Shalom is pel-peh, is face-to-face, is neshikin, and it's our universe, it's our oilam, and nothing exists outside of that space. Again, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, to begin the Mahalach of destroying Midian, erases the name of the Mitzri. So that's what the Degolim represent. The Degolim mean just a space with us and Hashem, and nothing else exists. Nothing else exists. No other name exists. See, and the Chazal say further. That's the word machanoim. So again, the Jewish people respond, Ma techz b'shans, what are you offering us? Ki mecholas machanoim, could you offer us the machanoim, the camps? What does the word mecholas mean? So says the Gemara, says the Medrash like this. Another thing that we said is, Shem yecholam atem litin lanu kigdula sh'asa lanu kashroch minu, could you offer us what Hashem has given to us in the Midbar? What did Hashem give us? He gave us a degalim, but he also gave us something else. Shinu chaitim, that we would sin, v'maychol lanu, and Hashem forgives us. And he says to us, your camp is holy. So what's this thing? Like that's something, no one else can offer us that. Where does the Mechila come from? The Mechila comes, like you never did anything wrong. Like there's nothing that can shter. That's what the Mechila is also, right? If the Mechila is like, we did tshuva, and we said sorry, and Hashem's like, you know what, fine, you know, huh?
Why mention both?
Because that's what I'm saying, because it's the same inyan. The inyan is that there's no one outside of Knesset Yisrael. So then there's no, why would Hashem not be Moichel? Because in the back of the mind, you know what, I could go somewhere else. There's other options. There's no other options. So the reason why Hashem is Moichel us constantly is because what else, what is he supposed to do? There's no one else. So it's like the Adam and Chava. You better make it work. Like there's no Hashem and the Jewish. There's no other option. So you have to just be moichel. There's no. But that's the nekuda, right? That's the nekuda. So they're both coming around the same thing, which is just us. So again, going back, what's the megadiv? The megadiv doesn't like lechem upon him. The megadiv is a son of the Mitzri that stared with Shloimeh bas Divri. The inyan of the megadiv is anti panim upon him. The Megadif means the Klipa of Midyan. The Megadif means the nations of the world staring and being mixed. So there's other options also. Vada, the Jewish people. But there's other options too. So the Megadif doesn't like Lechem upon him. The Megadif is disturbed by the purity of the Degolan. He's disturbed by that. And that's what's going on over here. That's why if you take a look at Marmukah number 5, the Medrash, earlier in the Medrash, talking about the Degolim, this is what the Medrash says. Chiba gedoyla chivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbanu Shalom showed an extreme love for us. She'asom Degolim k'malachi hasharis. That he made us have these camps, the Degolim, right? Like the Malachim. Kadesh, and this is what the Medrash says. Kadesh she'yiyu nikarim. In order that we should be nikar, that we should be, what the word is, noticed, distinct. You hear what the Medrash is saying? Like, that's what the Golem are for. In other words, like, what do you see? Hashem only sees, they're the only ones that are nicker. Everything else is completely invisible. That's the only thing that's the only thing that Hashem sees. That's what the Golem do. Uminayin says, Uminayin shu'ahav l'Yisrael. How do I know that the Golem mean Hashem loves us with this way, but this type of ahava. Not an ahava of like, an ahava that we're the only things that Hashem sees. That's what he said before. That's why Hashem is moichel us, because there's no other option. Like, Shekein Shleim Omer, because it says in Shir Shirim, Heviani al Beis HaYayin. Heviani al Beis HaYayin. You brought me to the storehouse of wine, right? This the wine cellar. V'digloi alay ahava. And you've, there's different ways to tie it. V'digloi ahava, you've overwhelm me with your love, something like that. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbavo, Matam Aloy Mir Haviyana Beisayayin. What does this mean? What's this mashal? So says the Medrash. L'ma Davar Daima. You can compare it to the Hashem looking at us can be compared to the following story. La Asher, you have a wealthy person. Shailai Oitzer Malayayin. He has a whole store, a cellar full of wine and so on. V'nichnas Abodka. One day he goes in to check out the wine. Umatze Kuli Chaimetz, and everything's spoiled. Everything is vinegar. Everything's spoiled. And Baalatzis, he's leaving, all upset. Mitaycha Eitzer. Umad zechavis achashal yayin taif. And he finds one barrel that's still good wine. Amar, and he says, chavizu amedes alayk kimalay ha'eitzer. As far as I'm concerned, this is the only barrel in the place. Because otherwise I can't live like this. So to me, I don't see any, everything is empty. The entire cellar is empty, except for this thing of wine. Kach baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Hashem did also. Shivim umais. V'kulam le'matza hano el Mishra. That's what he said. V'yanel be'sayayin v'digloi alayahava. That's degel. Digloi alayahava. That's the degolim. The degolim mean that that's all Hashem sees. Everything else is completely invisible. They don't have a name. Again, that's killing the Mitzri. The klipa of the Mitzri emerges as the Megadev. That's all the same. That's why, the language is, the language that Chazal used, that Rashi quotes, is that he went out of the Bezdin of Moshe, Chayiv. I understand. The system of judgments was already established by Yisrael, that only the highest, most complicated will go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is this din Torah so complicated? It's an open pasuk. It says in Beis Avosim, no other shayfa could handle this. You need to go to Moshe Rabbeinu himself with this shayla. Why it's so, like, this is so complicated. I understand it's a sensitive issue. It's sensitive. It's not this is a Moshe Rabbeinu inyan. This is a Moshe Rabbeinu inyan. The inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu is pal peh, is neshikin, is anti-megadev. This is a Moshe Rabbeinu sugya. So Moshe Rabbeinu needs to be the one to clarify that the degolim are for Beis Avosam. You see already in that it's an inyan of Abba V'ima, right? In order to have degolim, then it means there has to be an Abba V'ima. If it's just an ima, not an Abba, it's not degolim. So that's the side over here. That's the madrega of Abba V'ima, of train reyin le misparshin. So all these pshatim that Rashi is quoting are one of the same. He left his oilam, right? Your oila means your chelek, no staring, means the door of your home is not adjacent to the door, you know, not opposite anyone else's home. It's your oilam. But he left his oilam. He's already, he's not, him with the Rabbanu Shalom is not that way of train rain lemis barshin. He doesn't like lechem aponim. And he doesn't like the purity of the golem. It's all coming from the Megah. It's coming from the Ish Mitzri, right? That's why the Pasuk tells us his yichus. What's the nafkin? Like again, if it's a lechem, if it's the pshat is lechem aponim, what do I need to know if he's the Mitzri, that he's the Mitzri's son? According to the pshat that he came because of the Degalam, I understand. You still don't have to know that his father's a Mitzri. Let's say his father's from Yishmael, Chves. I don't know. As long as his father's not Jewish, I need to know that his father's a Mitzri. But again, that's the Inyan. That's the Inyan. That's going on over here. Right. Right. Now, like anything else, obviously there's still Bechira, so he could have made the right choice. But you see that, yeah, there was from the very beginning there was a damage that was done over there. You know, yeah, not halachically. That's the, exactly. That there was something missing in his life of Abba V'Ima.
Husband.
Exactly. That's what was big. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, you go back to, like I mentioned this just very quickly, that the Medrash, Shuvi HaShulamis. So Shulamis over here is like Shloimis, right? So it's ironic, right? Shloimis Bas Divri, that's the one woman by Mitzrayim that there was a breakdown. There was a little bit of a hairline fracture, right? And so Shulamis, in Shir Hashirim, the Jewish people called Shulamis, which is a term that means absolute attachment of Doidi Liv, Ani Loi, Mamish. But the truth is, Chazal already say, if you take a look at Maromoka number 2, just go back to that, Chazal say, Loinimsa Echad Men Prutza Be'erva, right? That amongst the history of Kali Yisrael Mitzrayim, not one person had any relationship with a guy. Teidalucha, says the Medrash, how do we know that Klai Yisrael were mamish pure and heinan lovadad yushkon Mitzrayim? Shahaya Kain, how do I know? Because achas hoiso pirsim hakasav. So you see the irony over here. The fact that the Pasuk spells out that this is what happened with Shulaimis is that she's actually the indicator of how we know that this never happened. Right. If he would have been oimid in his nisayin. So that's what's going on over here. It's like, so even the one that experiences that pagam, Lamaisa, she's now the way in which we learn how rare it was. So in other words, she herself is really the proof that this is like a crazy zach. So because it's, even though it seems that she gives space for the Kleep of Midian, she really undermines it. She really undermines it. So what happens? So Moshe Rabbeinu kills, just for a few more minutes. Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri, right? And then he sees Dasan Aviram, right? So if killing the Mitzri is already the beginning of Midyan, then it must be his interaction with Dasan Aviram is also part of that story. It can't be like a, because that was also part of getting him to Midyan. So what happens over there? So he gives Musar. He gives Musar, right? He sees the Rosh, Lama Sakarecha. He says to the Rosh, Lama Sakarecha, what are you hitting another Yid? They give Musar. And you see what happens, right? So they say Lashon Hara. It's Nagadif, it's sinning of Pel Peb, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu sees that him killing a Mitzri was not enough. Like he was thinking that maybe I killed a Mitzri, maybe that was the end of the Klipa. No, it's evidently not, because Dasan Virim are saying Lashon Hara, and there's Dal Turim, there's Bali Lashon Hara amongst Klal Yisrael, means that Pagam HaDibur, the Pel Peh, is still not 100% healthy. So I have to go to Midyan, the belly of the beast, to break the Klipa, you know, and to be able to have that. Chazal even say that when he stood by the burning bush, so how did the voice that Hashem used initially was the voice of Amram. It's the voice of his own father. So on a simple level, it's to make him more comfortable. They shouldn't be overwhelmed by it. But that inyan of the voice being the voice of his own father, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu's inyan. The gula means that you were successful in breaking Midyan, and now you can redeem Klal Yisrael like that. So he gives, but again, so... But what does he do with Dasan Aviram? He gives them Teichacha. So Teichacha, Musar is also this, I don't have so much time, I'll say this very, very quickly, but the Indian of Musar is also related to this Avaida of Pel Peh, of a union. See, how do you know, I'll put it this way, how do you know if you have two people that are mamish one? So very often the indicator is if they're able to do something which shows that they're not absolutely one, and afal pi kein they are. Like, how do you know when two yidden are mamish one? When they're hugging each other? Okay, maybe. But if one is giving musr to the other, which would usually on the outside be what would seem to be a distance between people, but afal pi kein, inside of that is absolute mamish ahava, that's real one. That's a real oneness. This is captured in the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, per chafei, I think. Right? So, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's per chafei. The pasuk says, toiv teichachas magula, miyahava misuteris. Toiv teichachas magula, miyahava misuteris. Simple taich. Toiv te... That open musr is better than concealed love. In Svar Makdoshim, it's taught that toiv teichachas magula, open musr is good, may have a musuteris, if it's coming from a concealed love. Now, in Eitz Chaim, I don't have time to explain this, but the Arizal writes in Eitz Chaim, in Shar Abavima, that pasuk, toiv teichachas magula, may have a musuteris, is a secret of Abavima. The yichud of Abba Ve'ima is one of Toiv Techachas Mugul Mavsuteris. And that's a little bit, you know, parents, you know, good cop, bad cop. There's a little bit of, that's part of chinuch sometimes, right? So someone has to be the Techachas Mugula, right? And someone has to be the Ahav Mavsuteris. And from there, but that's the secret. The secret of Abba Ve'ima is, so what's Techacha? When Techacha is done properly, it Techachas Mugula Mi'ahav Mavsuteris, that's the site of Abba Ve'ima. It's like, the bond between Reuven and Shimon is so strong that even though Reuven is yelling at Shimon, and Reuven is telling Shimon, you're doing some of the wrong thing and you gotta shape up and whatever it is, but it's coming, it's like, but Shimon hears in that a hug and he feels in that a hug. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to do with Dasan Aviram, right? Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is saying strong words. Lomasaka Reach, he's giving Moshe, but it's Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's Techachas Mumahav Musateras. That's what Techacha is supposed to be. If you take a look at the Rambam, Maruk number 7, the Rambam. So listen how the Rambam describes Techacha. Haroya chaveiro shechata. The person sees another yid that's sinning. Aisha halach b'derech le'tovri is doing something, going in the wrong path. Mitzvah lachzir lemutav. There's a mitzvah to return him to a proper path. Ulaidi aishu choyte al atzmai. Listen to the Rambam's language. Everyone knows Rambam is meticulous. The Rambam says, you have to bring him back, you know, on the derech. Uloidiyai, and to let him know, shuchayte, stop, shuchayte. Says Ram, no. Lehidiyai, you have to let the yid know, shuchayte el atzmai, that he's sinning against himself. B'mais of Haroyim. You hear what the Ram is saying? It's like, you have to tell the guy that your mom is a tzaddik, your kishkas are holy, you're living, you're sinning against yourself. You're not living the way you are. You're not authentic to yourself. That's Shenemar, Achich Tichich Es Amisacha. Hamichich Es Chaveiroi Bein Bedvarm Shebein Levinoi. If a person gives Musar, whether it be in Yonim, between the two of them, so you're trying to, you know, tell this person he did something wrong to you. Bein Bedvarm Shebein Levin Amokim, or it's in Yonim between him and Hashem, whatever it is. Tzarech Leichichoi Bein Levin Atma. You have to do this privately. You don't do this out in the open. V'idaber Lebenachas U'Beloshen Raka. You do it nicely and gently. V'yodiyoi, and you have to let him know. I'm only saying this for your own benefit, that you should go to Olam Haba nicely. If you're makabel, good. You do it a few times. You keep on doing until the person that you're giving musr to hits you. The yomer, he says, okay, then ready, you're potter. So again, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. So the inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu achich techiach with dasan aviram is, which is toiv techachas magul mehav misuteres, is already the side of Abba Ve'ima. That's the side of Abba Ve'ima. That what's interesting is, just very quickly, that the last psak of the Rambam, that musar, that you have to give musar, you have to give techacha until the person hits you. The truth is, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Bamatzia, I think it's a machlokes, Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, it's a different machlokes. Rav Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, I think it is. So different opinions. This opinion that your potter, when the guy hits you, is the sheet of Rav. The Farshim deal with the problem because really the halacha should be like Rabbi Yochanan. When you have a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, for example, so the principle is if you're dealing with monetary inyanim, you paskin like Shmuel. You're dealing with non-monetary stuff, like this case is not a monetary issue, so you paskin like Rav. But if you have Rabbi Yochanan, you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan always. That's the usual. So if you hear, it's machlokes Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds, I don't remember which one says which, but this opinion of the hitting is the is when you're pater, that's Rav. But Rabbi Yochanan said otherwise. Rabbi Yochanan said a different shear. So why does the Rama paskin like Rav, not Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, so it's a discussion. It's a discussion. But in Pnimius, one can suggest that once the Muchach, I don't know how to say it, the guy that not the Moichiach, the guy that's getting.
The Heilige Yid.
Once the Heilige Yid raises his hand to hit the Moichiach, the other Heilige Yid, right? So then that is an indication that he's not hearing the Yahavim Musataris. Why do I mean that? Take a look at Marmukah number 8. This is a piece from Likut Maran. So it's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says in pasuk, Karasi v'ta'amenu netisi yodai v'ein makshiv. The pasuk says that netisi yodai, I raise my hand, v'ein makshiv, no one's listening. What are you saying with your hands? So Chazal says such a lashon, dai l'chakima b'remiza. Right? That you, when a person talk, like I do this a lot, when you talk, you also talk with your hands, right? So now you're going to be, now I'm focused on that, so I'm going to go like this. So look at Maran, Tanyana Zayin, Aisir Aleph in Zayin. Pirush Rashi. Rashi in Mishlei says, what does it mean, Natisi Yodai V'ein Makshiv? I raise my hands and no one's listening. What are you saying with your hands? Says Rashi, Hainu Ramazim. In other words, with your mouth, you say obvious things. With your hands, you try to communicate things that you're not saying, obviously. Dai l'chakima b'remiza. For a chacham, you don't have to be told, you could just use the hands to communicate. Dai l'chakima b'remiza. Ki kasha chacham agal chachmasai, l'pa'amim oimer eze dibur. Sometimes he says a word, right? The chacham says something. Shemiramez by ramazin l'tamidav. Which, there's the words, and okay, I get what he's saying, but then there's also the remez in it. The hiddenness, and that's not articulated openly, that's a remez in the words, and that's somehow communicated with the hands. I mentioned this once before, is that in the Zohar Kaddish we find this, that before very big secrets of Torah were revealed by Rabbi Shimon, a physical posture that him and the Talmidim would take would be raising their hands. That's not raising hands in davening, but raising their hands. Then you're raising their hands is an in of remez, of channeling a sight. So what happens over here? Again, real techacha, real musar is, abav imadika musar is, techacha is megula, open, the words that you're saying are harsh, right? Even though Rama says you should say nicely, but again, it's different musar no matter what. But ahav musataris. But the remez that's being communicated with the hands is ahava. But if this guy hits you with his hands, Lamasaka Reecha, right? If he's raising his hands against the Moichiach, then that means that he's not getting the remez. If he's not getting the remez, then there's no chiyah. Like the whole mitzvah is of Teichachas Megula if it's communicating as well Ahav Musataris. If it's not communicating Ahav Musataris, Vaharaya, his hand is being raised against me, hands means the remez. So if his hands are being raised against me, it means he's being offended even mitzad his hands. Right, and it's even the remez he's not feeling the have musataris. Then I'm potter. Then I'm not being mekayim the mitzvah. Then it's not sukkah. I can't sit in a sukkah now. It's bechlal. There's no chesed shel mitzvah. I'm not able to. For some reason, it's not communicating properly. And from this, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes, okay, I have to go to Midian, because Midian is the belly of the beast, and he's going to break that klipa. And then from there, it'll be able to articulate words which also have the remez shabai. That's why he comes back to Mitzrayim after Midian. And now Moshe Rabbeinu was given the code of Palkat Pakadati, like I mentioned, when did I talk about it? But yeah, by the Kutum Aran, I said Palkat Pakadati from Rav Tzadik. That Palkat Pakadati means, now the Moshe says the words, but the Remez Shabbai, the secret, the feeling of being remembered by Hashem is also communicated. And that itself was because, that's an Abavima, that's Techachas Mulhav Musateris, and that itself came from breaking the klipa of Midyan. Okay, Vikras, we should be zaycha to Ahava Musateras and Ahava Bezgalia in all good ways. Be as God's like Rachim and Mehavi Menu. Amen.